time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and a very good evening to you all. It's Tuesday the 23rd of August. I'm Ronan Berry and this is Taking Care of Business. Coming up between now and 8pm, Padraig Walsh of Actualize Academy will speak about standards in public office and the need to separate our private and work lives. Particularly if you're a public figure, and I'm not just talking about a local TD who's coming under a lot of scrutiny lately, but actually referring to Sanan Marin and the video that came out recently of her just enjoying herself and doing what apparently normal people do. But there's been a huge backlash and a lot of debate and discussion around what's right and what's wrong. Padraig will offer his expertise on that particular topic as a behavioural psychologist. Also, Louise Murray from Technological University of the Shannon will invite business people to collaborate with TUS digital marketing students. It presents a lovely opportunity for that cross-collaboration between academia, between practitioners in the area of digital marketing, in order to help local businesses who need a boost or a leg up, particularly when it comes to creating a digital marketing plan. You can find a lot more about that around 7.15 or 7.20 this evening. Later too, Alan Shaw, President of Athlone Chamber of Commerce, will be here to give all the latest news and updates from the Athlone area, and in particular to talk about the launch of the 2022 Business Awards, another award ceremony that is back post-COVID. Great to see. And a great opportunity to celebrate businesses in your local area if you're from Athlone. So if you want to find out how you can get involved in that, how you can nominate deserving businesses, you can find out at about 10 to 8 this evening. Before that, if you want to get in touch with me here in the studio, you can do so by text or WhatsApp on 083 3010 103. That's powered by the home of Offaly's top-selling car brand, Lamb Brothers Toyota, Arden Road, Tullamore. But first this evening, I'm going to turn my attention to drink. That doesn't sound surprising for me, but no, in particular to Ballykilcavan Brewery in County Leash. They are finalists in the Irish Made Awards for 2022. The awards are hosted by Irish Country Magazine and they're now back for their sixth year. Heidi Higgins from Leash is also a finalist in the fashion category. But to try and find out maybe why Ballykilcavan are part of these awards, I'm delighted to be joined by David Walsh, chemist, who I'm not going to call him the owner of Ballykilcavan because they are steeped in such history. And it always brings me great joy to go onto their website, ballykilcavan.com, and the tagline that just jumps up at you: one farm, 13 generations, 383 years and one family. That is the Walsh chemist family. David, I can't really give you a better introduction than that. How have things been since I last spoke to you about 6 months ago when you actually created a special blend of beer to raise money for the Ukrainian war relief effort?
Absolutely. No, all good. Thanks, Ronan. Thanks very much for having us back on again. I think we were selling the beer at that stage for Ukraine. It was basically for the Red Cross in Ukraine, and we ended up raising 4,500 for the Red Cross effort in Ukraine. So, we were delighted with that. And again, we got such great local support on that. It was great to see. I am technically the owner along with my wife. I'd see myself more as the custodian. It's really a case of, as you say, kind of looking after the place as much as possible and then leaving it in a state that if the next generation wants to take it on, it's there for them.
How have things been? I suppose we can now start talking about the post-pandemic stage. Social lives have returned to some element of normality. Pubs are open again. People are socialising. Have you seen a boost in business from that? How has things been overall?
We have. Yeah, we have. I mean, and in particular, because actually one of the things we have done this year is open up the visitor centre at the brewery. So it was really, I mean, I think probably when we were talking to you last, we were still putting the finishing touches on it. There's still a couple of small bits to be done, but actually it's pretty much there at this stage. And we have had quite a lot of tours in already since say, April of this year. And it's great to see, particularly for us, it's mainly based around overseas visitors coming in. So it's tour operators bringing in North Americans, Canadians, US, French and German visitors, British visitors coming in as well. So from our point of view, it's fantastic to have them back in the country again after 2 years where a few of them snuck in and snuck back out again. But, you know, really, obviously, that was pretty much wiped out for 2 years. And then the other side is the export actually has really picked up again because, you know, a lot of the people that we were talking to on export, they didn't really want to necessarily buy in beers from abroad because they weren't sure what their lockdowns were going to be. You know, if they bought in a couple of pallets from us, would they be able to sell them because the pubs or the restaurants might close down again? So I think their confidence is back again. And that means that we're able to get our beers back out to France and Italy, which is, you know, increasing part of our business here.
Where is your primary market? Is the export exceeding the local market, or where is it this point, and where do you see things going?
It's still local to a large extent, and we do still get great local support. We're very grateful for that. But really, there's a bit in the middle which we're not really necessarily covering that well at the minute. Now, we're still looking for solutions on that. But in terms of the distribution, is actually one of the hardest things of the whole business, is just getting that distribution piece right. So I'd say we're fairly strong locally. We have quite a few what I'd call online accounts. So that means that we're able to sell to a business in, say, Dublin or Cork or somewhere like that. And then they're able to sell online to consumers. So it means that anywhere in the country that you are, you'll be able to get our beers online. But we're not that strong in terms of bricks and mortar stores outside really the local area here. So once you get outside, say, a 50-kilometre radius of the brewery, you're then into northern Italy. We have a very, very good distributor there who's taking a lot of beer off us. We have Noel McNulty down in La Rochelle, and he's taking in pallets of beer to go down into his pub down there, which is great. I mean, it's for a pub to have three lines of ours down in La Rochelle, you know, it makes a huge difference to us to get that sort of support as well. And we will have beers going into the Paris area later on this year, and hopefully into the Netherlands as well. We're sort of very close to finding a distributor over there who's going to take beers in as well.
There's quite an interesting piece in last Sunday's Sunday Business Post that actually speaks about the craft sector in the country, and it kind of says that a lot of microbreweries were coming under increasing pressure over the past year. There's been kind of amalgamations of breweries, and sometimes maybe some kind of reflecting this failure to be able to kind of break the stronghold that the big breweries have on the market. Is that why export becomes so important for you? Or
yeah,
is that
absolutely.
That's the challenge you're referring to there in terms of the bricks and
mortar. It is. And we all have to be very careful about our language, because all these big brewers have much better lawyers than we have. And I don't want to get you into trouble. I don't want to get myself into trouble. Any pub you go to in the country is generally going to be, there'll either be a lot of Diageo taps or there'll be a lot of Heineken taps. And realistically, I understand the commercial decision behind it. If you're a publican, if you're getting well looked after by a big company, you're not necessarily going to want to take out some of their lines to try and put in our lines, because that's going to get you into trouble with that big company. So from our point of view, it's very hard for us to get draft lines over here. You have great people like PJ Kavanagh in Port Leash, who has a couple of our beers in. The hotels, I have to say, I find are really, really good, because in particular, they'll be getting tourists in that want the local beers. So, that kind of keeps them happy to have our beers in place as well. But really, after that, we sell more draft beer in Italy and we sell more draft beer in France than we do in Ireland. And really, the Irish market for us is what we'd call small pack. So it's bottles and cans.
I can just picture the legal team that Mr. Burns and The Simpsons has when you mention there. You have to be careful of your language. I don't know why it pops into my head.
You get very used to it, because obviously everyone has to be careful. You can't go around making accusations that you can't back up. But we would find it very, very hard to go into a pub anywhere in the country. It's not Leash, it's not anywhere else, but anywhere in the country, we'd find it very hard to go in and displace a tap from one of the really big breweries.
Yeah, but said companies are also producing their own craft beer too, so clearly they see there is a market there for it.
It blurs the playing field for us as well, because there's no actual legal definition on what a craft beer is. There's nothing stopping a really, really big multinational brewery producing what they're calling a craft beer, because no one's policing that. There's no sort of legal definition set down anywhere. So anyone can call a beer a craft beer. We actually, a lot of the time now, we would call ourselves an independent brewery or a local brewery, something like that, because that is, something that's much easier to define. And I think maybe consumers can understand that a bit better than the term craft beer.
You're clearly doing something right there, though, because you are finalists in the drinks category in the Irish Made Awards for 2022. Tell us more about that, and what can people do to give you a bit of support?
Yeah, absolutely. No, we're delighted to get into that. I mean, we made it to the final last year, which we were delighted about as well. It's a very prestigious award, because it's based around the whole country. It's obviously a lot of it would be sort of textiles and home cares and beauty products and things like that as well. But there's a food category and there's a drinks category. We're the only brewery that's made it through to the finals, and we're up against some very big hitters. So we'd be delighted if people were able to give us a vote, because it's decided by public vote. It's a case of just going onto the website. So it's irishcountrymagazine.ie/vote. You'll see all the categories there. As I say, give Heidi a vote as well. I'm not as up to date on beauty products and things like that as maybe I should be. I'm sure there's other local producers in there as well, and it'd be great to get us all a vote and head us up to Dublin then later on in the year.
Absolutely, a little bit of recognition for the fantastic work that's been done. David, it's been a pleasure as always. All the very best with those awards, and talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Ronan. Talk to you soon. All the best.
And if you are another business in Laois Offaly Westmeath that happens to be a finalist or shortlisted for the for those awards, text me 083 3010 103. Let me know. We'll get a call out there for you too. Always happy to promote great local businesses. Not too many have the same history that the Walsh Chemists do over in Ballykilcavan. But as David mentions there, they do have a new tourist centre opened up as well, and a new tour that's well worth doing, absolutely worth checking out too. It's fascinating, and you really see that the journey the beer makes from the very fields where the grain and the hops are grown right up to the brewing process and down to the sampling at the end. Extremely, extremely valuable, worth doing, and great to hear it's getting so much traction locally, but especially from global tourists too, because that's what we need. We need the region busy and vibrant again. Still to come, Pádraig Walsh, a behavioural specialist from Bunbrosna, will talk about standards in public office and the need to keep our work and private lives separate. Now, we did the interview a little bit earlier today, and it was on the backdrop of the video that emerged of Sanna Marin, the Finnish Prime Minister, last week. But I suppose it's a topic that's been propelled front and centre into national news at the minute. And again, that need to kind of make sure that what happens in private maybe stays private and whatever happens in public. But where do you sit on that debate around it as well, particularly one with the Finnish Prime Minister? Was it a news story? Should it just have been, was it a thing of nothing? Find out a little bit while just about Pádraig's opinion on that, and maybe try to get a sense of why, as a species, do we seem to be fascinated with what particularly people in high office are doing, and that could be people in big positions in business too. So looking forward to that in about 10 or 15 minutes time as well. Also, Alan Shaw from Athlone Chamber will be along with all the latest news from the area, as well as launching their 2022 Business Awards. If you're a business though that is in need of a little boost in terms of your digital marketing or your digital strategy, the Technological University of the Shannon Athlone campus is inviting companies to collaborate with digital marketing students on a series of live digital marketing and consultancy projects for the 2022-2023 academic year. To find out more about this initiative, I'm delighted to be joined by Louise Murray. Louise is a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Business and Hospitality. Louise, this sounds like a very, very interesting programme that businesses should be keeping a close ear on and finding out how they can get involved. Tell us more about it, please.
Yes, indeed, Ronan, and thanks for having me on this evening on this lovely summer evening. We're just gearing up in Tús Athlone to head back into a new academic year, and we have done this call out for businesses in the Midlands to get involved with our digital marketing students, both our fourth year undergrad students and our MSc in digital marketing students, as part of their kind of a capstone project or digital consultancy projects over the academic year. And it's something we've developed. This is our fifth year of running these particular live projects. We realised, I suppose, over the course of developing our digital offering in Athlone that there was a huge need in the area among businesses for digital skills. And our students are, you know, they develop a lot over the 4 years. They've lots of kind of key skills that business need. But we thought initially about maybe sending our students out on work placements to businesses within the region. But very few of the businesses, certainly 5 years ago, had the expertise themselves to teach our students and to give our students, you know, relevant work experience in digital marketing. So we came up with this kind of unique approach of our students doing a digital marketing strategy for the business with the support of our digital marketing lecturers within Tús. So they would do, you know, work on these live projects with whatever the need was for the businesses, whether they're small, you know, one-person operations or large multinationals. They put together a digital marketing strategy for that business based on their needs. And then over the course of the second semester of the academic year, they would implement that strategy, whether it's social media or SEO or something to do with the e-commerce or paid advertising, whatever. Social media is probably the most common one that comes up over and over for businesses and their needs. And that's how it's worked. We're into our fifth year now, and we're looking for businesses to get involved with us through our website. So that's why I'm talking to you this evening.
Yeah, and even looking at some of the businesses that have benefited from the past, like companies like DPD Ireland, Panelto Foods, Ganley's of Athlone, Alexion Pharmaceuticals, Boy Media, Fernhill Garden Centre. Again, that spread of businesses across different sectors that you mentioned. So take us through it then as well. What's the engagement needed from businesses here? Like, I mean, what's the commitment from them in terms of hours? I know they're going to get the, obviously, if they engage, they're going to get the output in terms of digital marketing strategy. But what typically is involved for the businesses?
Well, First of all, I suppose we need them to have an open mind and a gap in their digital marketing. And I think there's probably very few businesses in the Midlands that don't have some need and don't want to grow their digital marketing in some way. Because as we know, you know, digital is just, you know, it's transformed everything over the last number of years and it's changing all the time. And that's a challenge for us as well to keep up to date with that. So what I would say to them is we, you know, apply firstly. We usually have we have a lot of interest, which is great. We go through the applications and we look at what we try and pick is a broad range of organisations from different sectors so that students get a broad range of experience. We pick the companies. Students have a small amount of say in what they, you know, we don't force a company on them they're not happy with. They, you know, they get to pick something that is of interest to them as well, so that it's a, you know, mutually beneficial experience. And they, the companies are invited in September to a launch, and we talk them through kind of what's required from them. They meet with their student. And I suppose the student goes away then very much so and comes up with ideas for the company based on, you know, all the information that's been given to them. And they may well spend some time on site with the company, or they may work remotely. That's you know, it's all very flexible. And they'll then present their ideas to the company in November. And the company, then there'll be a bit of over and back, and, you know, we're happy with this, we'd love you to do this, we love this idea. And, you know, they finalise what the proposed digital marketing strategy is going to be for the business. And then they come back in the second semester in January and they'll actually implement all of their ideas. The students, in collaboration with the business, will over the course of that semester up until Easter 2023, will be putting in place all of those digital activities. And I suppose every project is unique then. Now, if you're chosen for the MSc as opposed to the undergrad, it goes on a little longer, that the implementation still happens in that second semester. And it might, there'll be a final write-up by the end of the summer. But similar enough time frame, whether you're chosen for the undergrad or the MSc.
So it's such a crucial component of any business, particularly this day and age. And what's interesting about some of the companies that I read out there, people might have assumed that there would have been that skill set in-house already. So it just goes to show it's a problem for a lot of companies, and obviously a skills gap they want to fill and an issue they need to address as well. The website is ait.ie/digital projects. In terms of companies who'd like to apply, what do they need to submit to you? What do you need to know? And how onerous or how easy is the application process?
It shouldn't take you too long. Obviously, we're looking for your contact details, but we also ask questions like, you know, do you already have a social media presence? Do you have a Twitter page? Do you have, and you know, how advanced that is? Do you work with an agency? Do you have an active website? Is it optimized? Do you have any, you know, e-commerce on that website? Just some simple, just to give us a sense of both your social media and your web presence and any other kind of digital marketing activities you might be engaging with. So it'll be information that would be, you know, pretty straightforward, I think, for companies to put down there. The more information, I suppose, we have, the better, you know, better we can kind of link you then to the right student for you as well. So I think a huge thing that we'd be asking companies to do is to, you know, to be very open with the information. If they are chosen, you know, there'll be a lot of over and back. It's a learning curve for the students, it's a learning curve for the company, and it's a learning curve for us. So just, like I said already, just have an open mind. It's always so exciting. There are always obstacles, but that's where the learning is, I think, for a lot of our students. That's where the challenges are, but also that's where, you know, when those obstacles are overcome, you know, companies are so happy with the final outcome. Students learn so much, and everybody benefits. It's kind of a win-win. Just to say as well to the companies that there is no charge for this. This is a free collaboration, so it really is a great opportunity.
Yeah,
and also we are looking. I mean, don't be at all put off if you think, "Oh, I'm a small company; I'm not big enough to apply for this." Far from it. Like we like, you know, small kind of startups are absolutely brilliant because the students get to do so much more. There's so much more freedom with those. And similarly, you know, we have worked with Alexion and DPD and these big multinationals, and they provide a different type of challenge. Yes, they have a lot of people who do digital, but there's, you know, there's some niche area that they want our student to work on. So that's also very beneficial. And our students learn from each other as well on the different projects. We encourage them to work together, as well as working with the lecturing team, you know, if they need anything, and the company. So it's really, really collaborative, kind of 360-degree collaborative, this whole process.
given that we're facing into the final week of August, I'm sure you want people to kind of get involved, get their names on into this quite quickly.
Yeah, so the deadline is actually this Friday, the 26th of August. And if anyone has any questions, or if you know, there's anything you want to kind of run by us, you're more than, please contact me on email, louise.murray@toos.ie, or my colleague Aisling Keenan, who looks after the MSC, aisling.keenan@toos.ie, and we're available with any questions that you have. We may extend the deadline if there's a lot of interest, but Friday for now is our current deadline. But keep an eye on social media. The links, if you don't find it, if you go onto the actual AIT.ie webpage, we're right there. We're the main news story, so you'll be able to click into it straight away. But we're also across all the social media, Toos at Loan social media channels as well.
However you want
to get to us, as we should be. Yeah, we need to set an example there, don't we?
Absolutely. Look, it's no surprise that you're front and centre on the main AIT page there too. It does. It sounds like a fascinating and a fabulous opportunity for both the students and the businesses. Learnings on all sides, little cost and nothing but knowledge to gain as well, and maybe even that digital marketing strategy that they've been harping for a number of years now. It's a credit to everybody.
Yeah, and also... just to say as well, sorry to interrupt you, Ronan, we get a lot of requests for our graduates, you know, a lot of people looking for digital marketing graduates to work in their companies, and they're hard got. There are not a lot of them out there. But a lot of our students end up working for the company in an ongoing capacity, in a permanent capacity after, you know, they've worked on their project. So that it's also an opportunity for an organisation to maybe to get some digital marketing employee in the door as well, as an alternative to an internship or whatever. So that's also another possibility for companies if they're looking for some good digital
and absolutely huge when you've got to know that person already and they're already intimately involved with the business.
And they've already proven themselves, yeah.
Absolutely. Even more opportunities. Louise, credit to everybody involved. They're well done. Great to see that it's into the fifth year as well. Undoubtedly a programme that will continue. Louise Murray is a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Business and Hospitality at Toos in the Athlone campus there. Thank you very much for that, Louise. Get involved in that. Louise is giving out the emails there too. The web address again is ait.ie/digital projects. You have until this Friday. The deadline may be extended, but that interview would be podcasted anyway and put up on the listen back section under the podcasts on Midlands 103 tomorrow if you need to kind of share it with somebody who you think would be interested or you want to find out some of those details again. You can listen back on that tomorrow. In a week where standards in public office, particularly here in the Midlands, has become a very, very hot topic. More on that maybe a bit later in the show. But it was really propelled into the mainstream media by a video that appeared last week of Finnish Premier Sanna Marin enjoying herself at a private party. Well, private, or so we were led to believe anyway. Some people are very much behind the Finnish Prime Minister, saying that she's just a young woman. She's 36 years old. She's the second youngest Prime Minister in the world. She's just out enjoying herself. She wasn't on official duty. So what about it? It shouldn't even be a media story. I mean, I'd suggest myself, if it was a 70-year-old senator from Leash, we wouldn't even be talking about it. Other people, though, are saying she should step down. She should really reconsider her role as Prime Minister, because what if a big decision had to be made at that time? So why should she be out enjoying herself? But really and truly, I mean, do we hold certain people in political office, people in business, to unbelievably high standards? And why do we do so? Well, to try to crack into this and find a little bit more, I'm delighted to be joined by Bunbrosna native Padraig Walsh. Padraig is a behavioural psychologist at the Actualize Academy. Padraig, I suppose, where do you sit on this? Was the Prime Minister right and entitled to have a party?
I found this really interesting, Ronan, because I looked at this from an Irish point of view and I thought, if she was at a party with all of her friends and she turned around to them and said, sorry guys, I'm not going to be singing karaoke and I'm not going to be partaking in all the festivities because I'm a Prime Minister. Imagine that happened in Ireland. We would be wondering, oh my goodness, what has happened to her? What has she turned into? Ever since she got that job, she's turned into zero fun at all. The facts of the matter are that there has to be a divide between somebody's work life and their private life. And that was one of the real salient things that emerged from this story. There seemed to be, it seemed like a politically motivated backlash. Now, I'm not well versed in the Finnish governmental system, but it seemed like it was a politically motivated backlash, that something was being tried to be made of this. But you see then the response for so many of the citizens of Finland. I checked Twitter yesterday and I saw all of these Finnish women out, in, and particularly women in fact, but also men, who were out having a drink, having a party, and tagging their Prime Minister saying, hey, it's A-OK. So there was a little bit of a backlash regarding what we saw, but a huge amount of support for her saying we all have a right and an entitlement to a private life, and this is not something that should have been making the news.
Indeed, if you look at the supportwomen.com LinkedIn page, there's lots of senior women in very high political positions, business positions, right across Finland and right across Europe and the world that are doing similar too. They're putting up pictures of themselves dancing, having a drink after work last night and showing, hey, this is quite normal. So what caused this? Why did it become a news story, do you think? Is it just a media reaction, or what is it? What's that innate characteristic that humans have that we want to find out this and see this type of thing? And what do we gain from knowing this?
You said at the opening there that, look, if this was a 70-year-old senator from the Midlands, would this have been a story at all? No, it wouldn't. And we need to really examine what implicit biases are at play here. Is this because she is, as you say, a young woman, and particularly because she is a woman, she's an attractive woman, she's doing what most 36-year-olds would be doing, or we would expect to be doing in their private time, when they have the opportunity, which gets less and less as they get older, Ronan. So when you get the opportunity, you let your hair down. I think that has a huge, huge role to play within this. We have seen countless examples of male politicians, of older male politicians stepping outside of their code of ethics over the years and getting away with it. The key facts within this are that there was no ethics broken. This wasn't part of the workday. This wasn't harming anybody. Yes, it managed to gain traction because she's a young, attractive female who happens to be a world leader. And we need to really examine the implicit biases that are at play there. And I think part of it is saying, well, you know, is she a responsible individual? Of course she is. We all have a right to our own personal and work life. And I think that is one of the interesting things that has emerged with this hybrid work-life balance. Because implicit, we would have always had a division between our work life and our home life, our personal life. And we would have had work laptops, we would have had work phones, we would have had work offices. Now, particularly during COVID, we saw a hybrid or a working from home model occur where our work life and our personal life, those lines start to blur. And that becomes really important when you're talking about companies and writing their policies. I know certainly in secondary schools, for instance, particularly ones that wear a uniform, they have a code of conduct. Now, the code of conduct extends to the school grounds. However, what's really interesting, if you start to explore some of the codes of conduct for school, they also extend to when you are outside the school grounds, outside of school time, and you are wearing the school uniform. So now we start to see the tentacles of codes of behaviour extend outside of the workplace. Similarly, I've heard of workplaces, and it's an interesting dichotomy that managers have to toy with regularly, is when we have a work-organized night out, where there's a Christmas party. I've seen workplaces where their policy says that you are still on work time, or where the manager has responsibility for the well-being, health and safety of their staff, even when they're out having drinks of a Friday night. And that's a really interesting thing that companies, managers, leaders have to really take account of, is how are we extending those divides to ensure that people have a right to a personal life and a work life, that those lines aren't becoming blurred.
I think in the digital world that we now live in, you could almost swap that school uniform for social media profiles, that maybe we should all have a social media profile that's our own personal one. And if we need one for the workplace, that should be a standalone account, possibly.
Yeah, well, in this instance, what you had was some, I'm sure she is really annoyed with whoever did release that. But we know that anything that is recorded or anything that is shared can be shared multiple times. There's no limit. In the digital world, things can be shared with or without our consent. And whether we want it to get into the public domain or not, it is going to happen. It's such a shame that something as innocent as a karaoke night with your friends can be turned into something that appears that it leads to people calling for your resignation. There's definitely workplaces or there's definitely organizations or settings where you say if you weren't getting involved with your friends going for drinks or partaking in the karaoke, well, then that might call into question your commitment to the workplace. This would be different, Ronan, if we were talking about her being on work business. This would be different if she was having to get up the next morning for a very important work meeting. This would be different if she was failing in her duties as Prime Minister. But by all accounts, what's emerging here is that actually this is not the case, that this was on private time. This is something that we all do. This is, it's very rare that you don't see somebody kicking back, having fun with their friends. But what is interesting is that it has made such a news story. And I think it has to do with the fact that, A, that those three factors, that she is the second youngest prime minister, that she is female, and that she is attractive, and that there was political capital to be gained from making this public.
Absolutely. Ideal clickbait, I suppose, when you mention all those kind of characteristics there too. Paul, just briefly, you touched on it there about kind of change in behaviour and indeed that trying to retain or even regain that separation between work life and home life now that so many people are working hybrid models or even working entirely remotely. But yet if you check what's happening across business circles there, Tim Cook from Apple last week called everybody back to the office from early September. I think it's for at least 3 days a week. Indeed, just the other day, reporting that the number of remote jobs been advertised now has fallen again. It's kind of almost back towards a pre-pandemic level. Are we seeing another major behaviour shift here too? Like, I mean, have you got any analysis or any kind of data on that from an actualised perspective? Because I know from the pandemic first hit, productivity was alleged to have gone to the roof because really nobody had anything else to be doing of a day but work. That potentially has dropped now, and are companies beginning to see that maybe things like innovation are lacking now with the hybrid model? What's happening out there from your perspective?
I think there's a few different factors there. One is they have these big offices that they need to fill, so they have to get people back into them. It's great having a remote workforce, but it's not so much if you have a 10-year lease on a large building. The second thing is I think we're starting to see this combination of a hybrid model. I read an article yesterday in the FT that talked about Thursdays being the start of the new weekend because most people are now choosing to work from home on the Friday and they were socialising on the Thursday night. But what you're having is this hybrid model where people are able to define they're going into the office, going into the workplace is for teamwork, it is for collaboration, it is for creativity. And then there are times, and it's both anecdotally that I've been hearing from people, is that when they go home, they actually find that they can focus more because they don't have the disruptions of colleagues coming to them, asking them questions. You know, there's this meeting going on, there's that meeting going on. They have much more control over their work time when they're working from home. And they can also, it helps with their work-life balance in terms of picking up kids or getting bits and pieces done around the house. There hasn't been, I think we're still in that flux, to be honest, Ronan. I still think we're trying to figure out from the fragments of COVID where it was fully working from home back to the option now of being able to work in an office, and people are really pushing for this hybrid model. There seems the data is telling us that there's a strong preference for that hybrid model of a little bit of time in the office, a little bit of time at home. But you mentioned something really interesting there, that when we were in the midst of COVID, there were very few other distractions. There were very few places that were having events that we could go out to, that we couldn't even go for a meal, and we certainly couldn't go abroad on holidays. Now what we have is all of those distractions, and I suppose brilliantly coming back for us to do, and it's finding that balance between being able to mix our social lives with our productive work lives as well. And that poses both an opportunity and challenge for businesses and individuals alike.
And of course, the big problem there, if we all decide to work remotely on Fridays, then the Friday evening drinks can't happen and then we're back to square one and we can't go out and party like Sanna Marin and just be normal people.
I know, but hey, don't bring your phone out, because if you get recorded, Ronan, you'll be the next one online.
That is the message of the day as well, I suppose. You know, it'd be very interesting to see who leaked that video. Was it strategic, or was it entirely somebody betraying trust there? That's a whole other story for another time. Pádraig, as always, thank you so much for taking time to come out with me to Taking Care of Business.
No problem, Ronan. Thanks very much.
Pádraig Walsh, of course, is a behavioural psychologist and expert from Bunbrosna in County Westmeath, always willing to give his opinion on what's happening out there. And of course, the very human behaviour that drives these things. It really shouldn't have been a story. Sure, it shouldn't. But anyway, it was. But of course, it's now against the backdrop of a lot of kind of scrutiny, particularly around public representatives. And Fianna Fáil Minister Robert Troy is under a lot of scrutiny at the minute. Now, he's come out today as well and said that he is happy to take all questions on his property interests when the time comes. And I suppose it begs that question: how much time do we need to give people, be it a business owner, be it a political figure, be it a local councillors, be it a TDs, be they ministers, to actually come up and really give the full facts of what has taken place? There's a lot of optics goes on here. Let's oust somebody, let's get rid of somebody and ask the questions later. I think we need to define and decide how we, you know, give due process to somebody in this. Just because somebody's in a certain role doesn't mean they have to step down straight away. Minister Troy has been, you know, a huge support to businesses across the Midlands and indeed nationally over the past couple of years, and particularly through COVID-19 as well. I think we should bear that in mind, and we should give him and everybody else time to see exactly what the facts are behind it. And if it turns out that somebody needs to step down, or somebody needs to give a portfolio, or somebody needs to leave a company, so be it. But let's all just take a deep breath, give time and allow the facts to come out. That's my opinion on it anyway. And I would apply that to anybody in public office out there. One good maybe snippet of news that was featured on Midlands today, this morning, with Faulkner, was around the price of oil and indeed home heating oil. The price of oil has dropped 20% since June of this year. 1,000 litres of oil now cost between €1,290 and €1,350, which is around €250 cheaper than about 2 months ago, but still twice as expensive as it was this time last year. Rita Lamb from Lamb's Oil in Tullamore says the price of oil fluctuates every 15 minutes now. She says she's never seen anything like it before.
Never, never, never seen anything like it in all my life. One time in the oil business, the oil would change about once every 6 months. And I remember then it changed every month, and we got it very hard to come to terms with it. And then it changed on a weekly basis. It's now changing every 15 minutes.
Again, just also outlines the complexities that exist in doing business, indeed running a home in this current day and age. And unfortunately, no signs of that abating just yet. I've had a message here from John Gagan, President of Mullingar Chamber, just to bring your attention to an event taking place in Mullingar Golf Club on Sunday, the 18th of September. It's a fundraiser for Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association. It's €120 for a team of four people. Best thing to do is check out the Mullingar Golf Club social media channels or mullingargolfclub.com. See how you can get involved there and support a very, very worthy cause. Pádraig Walsh just touched on it there a little bit earlier when he said that thankfully there's now things back on to kind of fill our time and take us out of just that purely work focus that many people got when they were working from home due to the pandemic and everything that was entrusted upon us. But one thing that is back, and it's an event that was always marked in people's calendar, usually a hugely successful event and bringing together the best of business from around Athlone and the region, was their business awards. And this week the Chamber have announced that the awards will take place again. To find out more about them, I'd like to be joined by President of Athlone Chamber, Alan Shaw. Alan, great to see the awards back on again.
Yeah, good evening, Ronan. And yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. The Athlone Business Award will indeed be taking place this October on the 22nd. These are the fourth time that Athlone Chamber is proud to host the Athlone Business Award. So we're really looking forward to it.
You're looking for people to get on and start nominating businesses or business people. How can they go about doing that?
That's right, yeah. So we've a dedicated website recently run live, and it's athlonebusinessawards.ie. So it's pretty straightforward. So just get in on there on the website, and you will see all the details of this year's business awards, including where you can nominate either your own business or somebody else or some other business for the award under one of the 15 various categories that that we have identified for this year's awards.
And the nominations, they're open to all registered businesses, community groups and individuals operating in Athlone and its environs, for even including members and non-members too. So really, no excuse.
That's right.
If somebody deserves a nomination and you've done it, go online, as Alan says, they're at loanbusinessawards.ie and make that nomination. And the winners will be announced at a gala event on October 22nd in the Radisson Blue. What's happening on the ground over there in Athlone, Alan? We're at that kind of crucial time of year. School's about to come back. People are coming back from holidays. Bit of uncertainty over the next couple of months with rising costs and, you know, some talks, a downturn. But what's the mood like on the ground over there? What's happening in Athlone?
Things in general have been pretty positive. I think there's a lot of businesses out there experiencing positive growth. And, you know, I know from my own experience, you know, people are scratching their heads. There is talk of grey clouds in the distant horizon, but it's not really been felt on the ground so far. It's been, from a tourism point of view, certainly it's been quieter than previous years. There's less of the staycation market. But I think that was kind of expected somewhat, that once the skies reopened, that the staycation market or the Irish market as such would use the opportunity to travel overseas. So you know, tourism probably has dipped a little bit from where it was at. But having said that, the general business community are quite positive about the future. One of the things that are in people's minds as well at the moment is obviously the upcoming budget, which is going to happen earlier this year than previous years. And Athlone Chamber recently hosted a business breakfast with Minister Michael McGrath back in July, and we got kind of a preview following the government's summer economic statement of what might be coming ahead. And overall, you know, things are quite positive, but you know, we just don't know, obviously, till the budget is announced. And Athlone Chamber again will once again be part of a post budget analysis when that happens in late September. So
is there anything in particular you'd like to see happening from a business perspective with that budget?
Yeah, I think you know, the biggest factor affecting businesses right now is the inflation side of things. And you know, we really need to see some stability coming into the market and support from government in relation to energy costs and the uncertainty around that. Indeed, energy supply itself is a factor that, you know, seems to have crept up on us at a national level, not only at local level, but so the idea that there could be blackouts or limited energy supplies over the course of the coming winter is something that is of great concern to businesses. And we would like to see something more comprehensively dealt with by government as part of the budgetary process in terms of subsidising energy costs. And secondly, providing a greater level of reassurance to businesses about the supply of energy throughout the coming winter.
I think it's an absolutely crucial and necessary clarification that's needed, because it's not leaving the headlines too. And some of the stuff you read behind it is quite frightening in terms of the lack of backup generation and the lack of delivery of stuff too. And certainly I think business owners would, it's the very least they should need to know, that they have a little bit of security on that. But overall, look, it's positive in Athlone too. So lots happening between now and Christmas, and great to have that little bit of normality coming back too. Alan, thank you so much for coming on this evening.
Thanks very much, Ron. Great to talk. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And if you've got something in your area as well that you'd like to get featured in the show, as always, you can text us here on 083 3010 103. That's powered by the home of Offaly's top-selling car brand, Lamb Brothers Toyota, Arden Road, Tullamore. Or get in touch with me directly. business@midlands103.com is the email address. Podcast of this evening's show, as always, will be available from around 10 a.m. tomorrow morning on the Listen Back section on midlands103.com. Just click on the podcast there and you can look at the individual podcast, or you can listen back to the full show. And indeed, they're now available on all the various podcast hosting websites and channels. Wherever you get your podcasts, plenty of business content to listen back on there. Thank you, as always, to all this evening's contributors, to Louise Murray from Toos, to Porrig Walsh from Actualize Academy, to Alan Shaw from Athlone Chamber, you've just heard there, and to David Walsh, chemist, from Ballykilcavan Brewery. Don't forget, you can go and nominate him and indeed Heidi Higgins in the fashion section there on the Irish Maid Awards 2022. Been a pleasure as always. Time for me to go. Joe Cooney will be here after the news at 8 p.m. with Country Roads, bringing you the very best of Irish and American country music. Other than that, just keep doing what you're doing, keep doing it well, and enjoy the week, and I'll talk to you all next Tuesday from 7 p.m.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.